مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان، hope you well this morning.
الحمد لله. وعليكم السلام. Things are fine here and in South Africa.
الحمد لله. All is well. شكرا. الحمد لله. There is, you know, it's July, and during this particular period, they always referring back to 1848. So here in South Africa, it is the Women's Week. I'm sure you get Men's Week, but maybe it's not as highlighted as Women's Week.
Well, we have Mother's Day and we have Father's Day. We don't get that. We have Women's Liberation Month of March. But this 1848, this is something new to me. What's this all about?
So this year is referring, it's going back to the Seneca Falls Convention. So this was a women's rights convention, the Seneca Falls Convention. It was held from the 19th of July to the 20th of July, and that was 1848. It was held at a Wesleyan chapel in Seneca Falls, New York. So it was... they say it was, despite scarce publicity, 300 people, mostly area residents, they showed up on the first day. Only women were allowed, of course, to attend. The second day was open to men. Few people attended, and these people, such as Elizabeth Cady Stanton, she is apparently one of a known figure in the U.S. And what the issues was, and I've just been seeing what they actually were opposing, was that women were not given that recognition that they exactly wanted. And this was this whole Seneca Falls, and it was held in the New York. And one of the things, few of the things I'll just share with you, Mufti Saab, is that they wanted equal pay, equal jobs, and equal rights to vote, all of these things. So 19th century gender roles, this was the title, women's rights, and focusing in all of this, working, voting, participating in politics, getting them out there. And they want to move away from cooking, raising children, and all of these things. They wanted these restrictions on voting, owning property, control of income removed. So this was, remember, 1848. So, the Seneca Falls Convention. So, okay, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, we mentioned to you, she was there. And this, what, now we see that there is South African Islamic organizations, and they are UKSA, I'm going to say their names, and representing Islam in South Africa by your name. We don't say that every Muslim accepts you as a representative. Of course not, especially due to many facts, and part of that is your interfaith and all the other things that you're engaged in. But now they are urging the Ummah here in South Africa, in wherever you may be, to now dedicate a Jummah Bayan this Friday. And it must be to the greatness of women and their contribution to Islam and all of this.
Pardon me for laughing.
So,
I'm stuck for a lot.
If we just look at this, are we going back to our roots? But we're using the Kufar identity and their year, which marked the freedom or was a step in removing all these restrictions, knowing very well that many of these restrictions actually opposes directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws in the Quran Sharif for women. Now, we're using that as our base, and we have to refer back to that because we want to show the world that, look, Islam recognizes women. But our base is what? 1848 Seneca Falls. And I just this morning, before we hear from you, Mufti Saab, there was a disturbing post that was sent out. And you know how we are. We tend to, and it is good in a way, and definitely good. That's a sign of Iman, that whenever something is attacked off our deen, you'll find the person who doesn't have much, if you look at his ibadah, but he's willing then to defend it because he's got that love and he's got that spark of Iman. So this morning there was this short clip. It didn't show the dog's face, but it's got there the name. And what was the name that was put there? This is a Israeli dog, and it's part of their military force. Okay. It's got the name of...
A two-legged dog.
No, this is a four-legged. So
it is a four-legged dog. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a real dog, yeah. And it's got... They put the name there, Aisha. So one of our muftis put there at the bottom, did Iran assist them in this year? Because you know Iran and the Kufar Shia, what allegations and castigations they place upon Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So then I said, okay, let's just look at this thing, how we're going to deal with this year. So firstly, on the one end, we've got this Women's Week, right? On the other end, you've got these people criticizing, castigating, using the name of Aisha on a dog. So we say to you, and this is our challenge to you, wherever you may be. You want to speak of women's rights? Let's start with Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Let's defend her on this particular issue, and let's call the kuffar Shia for what they are. Can they do this here? Uksa, can they do this here? This is a question for them. And then another question that we have for them is that when you look at the lifestyle of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, which is mentioned in the Quran Sharif in so many verses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions her and frees her from all these castigations which was placed upon her at that time of Ifk, and everyone knows the incidents and the details of that. But when you see the verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to a very specific quality. And the quality is ghafilat. Ghafilat in the verse of the Quran Sharif means to be unaware. It doesn't mean you must go out and you must now get a income and you must now free yourself from all of this. Ghafilat means you totally unconcerned, you are unaware of what's happening in the world. This is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises these Muslim females. Now, when you look back and what they are promoting, it's in total conflict with what is mentioned here. And there's so many other verses which mention that you stay in your homes. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. And here's the verse here. And I'm going to say to you that when you now want to become forward, and you want to now go put yourself in these corporate environments, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ. الْغَافِلَاتِ is mentioned. And the next, المؤمنات, they have to be believers. So المحصنات, they are chaste. الغافلة, unaware. المؤمنات, they are believing women. Allah says, indeed, those who accuse chaste, unaware, believing women, what is the consequences that they will have to deal with? In this world, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا. In this world, they are cursed. وَالْآخِرَةِ. And the year after. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they will have a great punishment. A great punishment is in store for them. And this is in Surah An-Nur, verse 23. So we say to you, and here's the question, come out, defend Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, criticize the Kufar Shia. This is, remember what status Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and all the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds, that is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 6. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. His wives, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives, are the believers' mothers. So should we not now come out and defend in the so-called week of theirs, of Women's Week, defend Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha?
Well, yeah, we should. It's not going to mean much because all what they're talking about is just nafsaniyat. And if you're going to follow behind the kuffar with some sort of action like this, you got to look at their original. What were they thinking back in 1848?
1848, yes.
They're trying to give the outline of what the woman should be like and what the woman wants to be like, but they didn't give the outline of the man. Okay, and that's something that the Prophet also outlined when Ali radiallahu anhu married Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, he outlined the program for the husband and the wife. Okay, as after the Quran has, you know, explained everything about man's responsibility and women's responsibility, with the details were given by the prophets also. Now you go back to 1848. Where's the basis for their saying what is a woman's freedom? Our basis is Quran and Hadith. What was their basis? All right. What they had in their mind. You know, back then, homosexuality was not okay, but now it is okay. Well, what gave the change? Where did the change come from? See, they have no basis for their initial talk. Women being free, this is what they want. They wanted freedom. Well, that's what the American white man wanted, to break away from England. White slave owners wanted to be free. And think about that for a moment. Okay? White women in America, 1848, they didn't have to work. Okay? They didn't have to. All right? The black women had to work. And matter of fact, this is before slavery was over. So black women worked and they didn't get paid. white women didn't have to work. Okay? All they had to do is stay home and look beautiful. Okay? Now we look at 1848. When did women get the right to vote in America? It wasn't until after 1900. So it took 50 years for that to happen. Okay, so you got to wait 50 years before change is going to be made in South Africa based on this 1848 thing? Come on, give me a break. Allah, wait, bro. Some people are crazy. We have the blueprint. We have the blueprint for everything, okay? But we don't want it. We put it to the side. You know, the Muslims now are like the kuffar in the court system, all right? You go to court, okay, and they tell you, okay, stand up, put your left hand on the Bible, and raise your right hand, okay? They ask you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you say, okay, yes. Okay, then they take the Bible, they put it in the drawer. Now, the law is in the Bible. Right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, this, it. All the law is in the book, but you put that away. Okay? And then you judge based on, you know, feelings and on this and on that. And we're doing the same thing. We have the law, right? We have Quran, we have Hadith, and we got scholars who can interpret it. Okay? But we want to put it on the side. We want to follow something from 1848. You make it make sense.
Exactly, as you've mentioned, that going back to this is baseless. When you've seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's come as a mercy to the entire universe. So when you speak of women's rights, you speak of animals' rights, you speak of so many rights, you have to go back to Islam. Because the one who came as a mercy for the entire universe, not just a race, not just for people, not just for... In fact, this statement was made so beautifully the other day by a woman. Of course, I'm a mahram to her. And I heard her saying the statement. She said that, you know, she was giving advice to the children. And she said that, see, we have to be kind and this and that. And you can't look at poor people and make a judgment and classify them because they do not have a Mercedes Benz, because they do not have a BMW, because they don't have a mansion. That is not the way of classifying people, categories of people. So see, the mother plays that role in assisting that child to know that, see, we are far from this year, but putting everything according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it. That's how we do it. So she was saying that, see, poor people, we must actually love more and we must show them more kindness, because they will be going and entering Jannah so many years before the rich people. And not only that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to be with the poor people. So How much more mustn't we honor and respect the poor people? So I said, that's a really profound statement made by a woman. And exactly this, women, when they stay within their realm, in their circle, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them in, she can make something of herself in this world and the year after. But when you're coming out now and you want to compete, exactly what let's put it on paper, let's put it facts down. You are actually unhappy indirectly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a female and has confined you to these noble qualities. The kuffar won't name it as noble to stay in the house. That is oppression for them. And unfortunately, the reality is the reality. We have Muslim women now with Muslim names and the rest, but they are unhappy because of these so-called promotions. They are unhappy with their roles, even though they may be serving it at home, and they're pushing constantly to come out of these roles. This year is what we're witnessing. And it's just a matter of time till they now just run out and have these same placards and say, we want equal rights. We are tired of these. Like in Pakistan, how many times you told us, Mufti Sahib, the women, they are done with cooking there. So,
yes. They don't even make chai. The rulers speaking don't make chai and then go to the Pathans and complain about how stupid the Pathans are. Okay, this is how we are. I had heard something about someone was asked why the women's movement, the women's the feminist movement back in, I think it's the 50s, it really started when they invented the birth control pill. Women started burning their bras and trying to take more responsibility and trying to get freedom. Freedom for what? I don't understand. The white male wanted freedom, although he was a slave owner, and the white woman wanted freedom from the white male. So I don't know what that was all about. But Rockefeller, everyone knows about the Rockefellers, a Zionist, okay? And he said that they pushed this. The Rockefellers and the other, you know, people who Allah has given them in charge of the world right now, they wanted women to go to work because they represented half of the population. And 50% of the population wasn't working, so they were not under the tax net. Okay? There was no income taxes for them because they didn't work. But if they could get them back to out in the... in the Western, in the workforce, all right, then the government and the banks, okay, will make more money, all right, because now the whole population will be working. And that was one of the biggest pushes to get the women out of the house, okay? But they're saying, oh, no, it's the freedom. But the people that are, you know, running the place, they knew what they were doing. And so again, that's what back in 1848, they were probably, you know, just the same type of plan back then, but there was no income tax in 1848. Okay. Income tax came, I think, in 1921 when the Federal Reserve was made. All right. And so maybe 20, 30 years after that, they started really pushing for the women to get out to work. So, yeah.
This, I've shared this with you previously, and, this was just for personal research. So we went into one of these bookstores where they sell all these books for schools. And I wanted to see when we went to school, which was not so long ago, but is there any changes? And when we speak, we have to speak with evidence and proof. We can't just now be pulling out from our back pockets. But I was really shocked when I was in that store. And I think more shocked than me was the workers there, because they were like, what are you doing taking pictures of our books? And they were really uncomfortable. I just said, I'm just doing some research on certain things. And eventually they said, please, I can't carry on with this year. Now, I'll share with you what I found. And this year we shared it previously, and we don't mind sharing it again. with anybody who wants this information. It is, they're going back to the 1950s, and they are showing you pictures, and of course we then covered those pictures, but it shows women in the kitchen, happy and secured, men looking after them, as the Quran Sharif and a Hadith Mubarakah teaches us. That was the normal system. We're not speaking here of Muslims. We are speaking not of South Africans, or we're not speaking of slaves. We're not speaking. These were free American women living a comfortable, secured life because the men were taking care of things as it's supposed to be. So this was a norm. And it wasn't a norm that was just for Islam. Islam's supposed to be the norm. But you know how it is, they constantly change. And but this was even a norm till the 1950s. Now, if you see this book, the way they portray the questions, the case study, it is to push you into a certain corner. So although if you attack them or you question it, they'll say, but we weren't. We were just asking the student. But you can see the influence. So they'll ask you a question. How has this woman been stereotyped? And they'll put this woman and make it, she give you that image and put titles of that nature that she's being oppressed because she's making something for the family. Then you see later placards, then it was they had a march and women coming out, equal pay, equal rights, the same thing like what we speak of, this Seneca Falls and the rest. So women then came out with these placards and all of this here. Now, women are out of their homes. So you just do a quick comparison. Look at Taliban in these particular aspects. We must give them the credit where it's due. They are putting an end to this. But the BBC and organizations of the US and Western influence, they're saying this is oppression. But you take South Africa, our so-called beloved country. The education minister, not so long ago, do you know what she said to the female students of our schools? And if you look at the stats, it looks, it's disturbing. 9 to 14 years, females are giving birth. So they want to put an end to that. What's the end to it? Go to our life orientation books in the syllabus and you'll see it is what? Abortion. So you're killing a child. But here, if you just look at it from this angle. She said, please, she's urging the female students, close your legs and start opening your books. This was, it was out there in all the newspapers in that. And people were angered at her statement. They were angered at the statement, but they weren't angered at what's happening in the schools. It just shows how far off we are.
Yeah, we agree. That's the problem we have here. Also, you can go to school from grammar school right on up to college with girls. Because everything is co-education here. And then when you start to feel guilty, you and the girl, then you ask your parents, "Can you marry?" Okay,
yeah.
And the parents will say, "No, you're not going to marry no Punjabi, or you're not going to marry a Pathan. You're going to marry your cousin." Okay? And that causes a lot of problems. The parents are happy with the zina. Okay? Every day, every year, you go to Eid and go visit her house, and she visits your house, and you do homework together, and birthday parties, and all these other things. But when you really start getting some shame, and the iman starts coming into you, and they said, you should do the right thing. We should have shadi. And your parents, but your parents are happy with the zina.
Hmm.
Well, it's a similar type thing. We have a lot of work to do, brother.
Allah accept. That's why we make that dua, waj'alna lil muttaqina imama, that Allah, you grant us a leader for the muttaqin. And let it come quick, and inshallah we can also then be strengthened in this, in the taqwa and the rest.
Yeah. The limit says, open your books and close your legs. So they're not concerned. The people don't like the statement by that woman, right? But they got no problem with what's going on there. So that is similar to a hazard. Okay, Mulana Desai. He says, no, for this particular mufti is not a mufti, this particular person is doing the wrong things, and people, how can you criticize? Mm. How can you criticize that great mufti? Okay, but they don't look at what that mufti was doing. That malign decides criticizing. It's the same exact same thing.
Mm. Failing to deal with the reality of things and just pushing it, shoving it in under those carpets and drawers and hoping things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called such a person, by the way, a foolish person. Wal ajizu man atba' nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah. He follows his nafs, a foolish person, he follows his nafs, and then he expects from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how we say, we just do this, Allah is ghafoorur rahim. So you just did a major crime, you don't feel guilty, but then you're placing your hopes. You have hope in Allah, but the hope should drive you to tawbah and to stopping that act, not just, okay, no, Allah is ghafoorur rahim. Anyway.
And remind yourself, Allah is also kahar.
Yes, exactly.
We always remember the ghafoorur rahim. What about kahar?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Mufti, tomorrow, inshallah, we'll meet with you again. And we'll be speaking 8:30 to 9, inshallah. Du'as for us in the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Of course. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.